This is Robert from Twin Peaks, and you're listening to Inspirado Projecto.
Got a light?
All right. Welcome to another episode of Inspirado Projecto. Beautiful day. The rain is gone. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Crispy, clear, vibrant. Just a beautiful, 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 beautiful day. On my way to Kaechung radio station, 1630 AM. Today's the 21st. As many of you know, we had the blood wolf moon last night, the lunar eclipse. So this marks a really good start of the day with that in mind. We got Phil Donlin in the studio. We have Noelle Ewing. We have another fella. So we're going to be talking about Phil's new movie, High and Outside, and also another new movie that he's working on. And I'm looking forward to getting the lowdown on that, so we could share that with you guys, and you can check it out. In the movie High and Outside, it's the final performance of Jeffrey Lewis. And also, Ernie Hudson pops up in there, in that movie. So who knows, maybe one of these days we'll be able to get Ernie Hudson into the studios. Phil's also friends with Shepard Fairey and Chuck D from Public Enemy, which blows my mind, because Phil and I were constantly listening to Public Enemy during high school, during our high school years. Constantly playing Public Enemy. So it is no surprise to me there that the manifestation of reality would happen in that particular way. You know, this thought came to me a lot of times. You know, you just might find yourself being astonished with the pure deja vu, the synchronicity, the exciting coincidences of a situation. A lot of times we hear that word, oh, it's a small world, you know, and that's it. That's, you know, oh, what a coinkydink. A lot of times we hear that. And it's interesting because, let's see, how do I put this? Usually the same people who say, oh, what a coinkydink, oh yeah, what a small world, you know, they're not astonished by something that, you know, all these stars have to be in line in order for this particular event to happen. Not to mention, just the simple fact that each and every single one of these people involved with these particular events had to, you know, were the sperm that made it to the egg. That in itself is just astonishing. Then you get into that, but then you get into the idea that out of all the places in the world, here these two people are, here these three or four people are, they come across each other and they're like, and they, you know, they're just astonished. They find all these particular commonalities and connections between each other and magical moments. And so, you know, we'll hear people say, oh, what a coinkydink, ba-ba-da-la-ba-da-ba. And they just leave it at that. Like, it's not really magical. There's nothing really extraordinary about it. Funny thing is, if you approach that from another perspective, a lot of times those are the same people. Like, let's say, for instance, you go, oh man, I bet you know, this awesome thing will happen. I bet you this particular phenomenal thing might happen for us. Those same people will most likely be the same kind of mindsets that go, no, that probably won't happen. Odds are that probably won't happen. And I'll leave it at that. So it's like, how should I put it? Either way, there is a lack of excitement, joy, and astonishment at a particular event happening that, like, the same, so it's like the same person who's going, oh yeah, the odds are that thing won't happen, and then if that happens, and or when that happens, those same mindsets will go, ah, what a small world. Like, there's no, like, the universe is just not getting their due in those moments. And I gotta, you know, I'm working on not letting that kind of stuff get under my skin. You know, the universe is just continually giving freely, 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 and it's whether we actually choose to see it or not, how we want to define it. Usually, for a mindset that is programmed morning, noon, and night, programmed by what the politics are telling them, what the news is telling them, those kind of mindsets are the same mindsets that are when you're talking about these kinds of magical situations. It's like you can see the gears turning in their brain where they're matching it up with what they recently read, what the news is telling them, what, you know, basically limited human thinking. They're that's in their archives. So we can have in our archives, in our brain archive, either way, okay, I'll put it this way, either way, we're pulling reflections from things that feel, that highly, most highly reverberate with us. And if the things that most highly reverberate with us happen to deal with limited human-minded thinking, no matter what, there's always going to be limited human-minded thinking, no matter how much we want to try to look outside of that, there's always going to be something more. That's the interesting thing. These insights, these revelations, they come about most likely because this a person has kind of put themselves into a position of receiving that signal. And, you know, These astonishments just continue to unfold, continue to be given. Whether we kick those gifts in the nuts or not, whether we kick it in the nuts or not, it still just keeps going. It's like David Lynch putting in all these little Easter eggs, putting these little things in there and not calling attention to them. You know, he's not calling attention to it. I bet he gets a kick out of people finding them, pointing them out, and going, ah, I see this, I see that, I see this parallel. I bet he gets a big kick out of that. So, just imagine the universe working in that same way. Just imagine if we tied together that idea, like they're part of the same coin, that if we are of that mindset that goes, oh, what a small world, if taking that same mindset and putting it on the side of the coin where, like, imagine this. Imagine the comment, oh, it's a small world. Oh, what a quinkydink. Okay, imagine that is sort of like the finish line. That's the moment that something is like, bam, there it is. Trailing back. In many instances, there's that domino that started it all. There's that person who said, hey, I bet you this cool thing will happen. Just imagine this awesome thing happening. So, what would be the harm and dreaming big? What would be the harm in thinking about, you know, some crazy extraordinary situation happening for the benefit of yourself, of everyone that you're involved with? What would be the harm in that? I suppose one could say it's just a safeguard against disappointment. Well, how crazy is that to walk through life with this mindset of, I just don't want to be disappointed. So as a result, I'll just go ahead and surrender and let disappointment win the game already by simply being disappointed or being unastonished right from the get-go. See, that way I beat the system. That way I beat the system. I won't let it get me excited. No, no, no. I will not let it know that I'm excited about this, because as soon as it knows I'm excited, then everything is going to go to shit. Wow. That feels like a sad, sad state of mind to walk around with, to me. Uneventful, unexciting. Yeah. Let ourselves be astonished by these completely unexpected circumstances. Let ourselves be embracing of these circumstances, both when they do happen and even before they happen. The predicting aspect, the prophecy aspect. That's a funny thing. That's a funny thing, because like one of the ideas, there's this idea of like, oh, I wish this thing will happen. Oh, I wish this will happen. Oh, I wish this will happen. Holding tightly onto it, holding tight, pining away for this particular outcome. I hope, I wish, I wish, I wish, oh, I hope, I hope, I hope. And if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be disappointed. You know, there's like that built-in, there's usually like that little built-in aspect to it where, you know, if this doesn't work, I'm going to be severely disappointed. How often do we get a chance to hear the phrase, if this doesn't work out the way that I immediately envisioned it, I'm still going to embrace it. And I know that when it appears, it's going to happen exactly the way it's meant to happen, the way it's supposed to happen. Like, holy cow, what a healthy outlook that would be. No one has to be disappointed. No one has to get their feelings hurt. So keep that in mind, folks. We're about to enter the subway now, and we'll talk more later.
Here's your fun fact. The word mafia is never mentioned in the film version of The Godfather because the actual mafia demanded it. Also, the horse head used in The Godfather was real. It was acquired from a dog food factory. Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
Lets me breathe. What lets me cry? What lets me grieve? What is up its sleeve? Who can I count on better than me to teach myself true bravery? It's about belief. How can I best be?
So all four of you were jammed into the front seat.
Okay.
This is for
the police department.
This is the podcast.
This is for the police department.
Yeah, this is for the police department. Yeah. Because I'm an undercover cop.
That's a microphone.
Yeah.
That's
it's
cool.
A really good one.
Wow.
So all four of you were jammed, packed into the front of this station wagon. You tried to put, a few hundred pounds of a deflated Godzilla...
Mm-hmm.
What would you call that? I almost want to say it's a balloon, but not necessarily a balloon.
It was well, because when we did get caught, and the trouble we were in was that the gorilla we stole was Grand Theft Auto, or it was Grand Theft because it was over, because the thing cost like $15,000. I mean, this is a serious thing. And when we deflated it, we didn't realize, because it had lights pointing up at it, lighting it up, and it fell in the lights and it burned holes in this thing. Like, the dude from the auto lot was pissed. He wanted to press charges. We were like, and this was right before Sean was about to go to West Point.
Oh my God.
And he was going to end up getting kicked out, or he wouldn't have gotten in. He was
Oh my God.
So I don't know what you would call it, but it was a serious. I mean, this is not just a balloon. I mean, this is like a thing. This was
a big plastic.
The material's super thick. You know, I mean, this is a real thing.
Very durable thing
in
case
massive.
It rains and all that.
I mean.
And you somehow packed it into the back of the station wagon?
And, you know, it would be
wagon?
Like the tall. It was just, when it was inflated, it was like as tall as my place I live in. I mean, it's like. It's a massive thing. I don't know how we got it.
So you somehow got it in the station wagon, and then you were driving to where? Where was it? Was there a McDonald's or something that had the other one on the top of it?
This is when the movie Godzilla came out.
Okay.
Weirdly directed by Matt's boss.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Right, we were just talking about today.
Astounding. Of course. I love how it all loops back around. The universe plays these fun little games.
The one with Matthew Broderick.
So you tried to get up onto the roof with this thing holding on.
We didn't try,
thing, right?
We did it.
Oh, you actually did?
Well, because Sean was really smart, which you could tell he was on a track for the FBI, because there was all these like things we had to bring and that he got. So like, he had created a rope pulley system ahead of time, because
oh
he
God.
Knew we were going to have to like take it up on the roof. We brought electrical cord extensions. Mm-hmm. We took with us the blower that blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the pulley system it all up onto the roof.
Whoa.
And we got it all up on there. And as we got it inflated, the police came. So we had to, as we were escaping, the gorilla was coming to life with the Godzilla on the roof. It was like starting to inflate.
So as you were running off, the thing's like,
yeah, and the police are
it's
coming.
It's like growing to
I'm
its...
I'm just curious, because you said there were two holes from the lights. Was it having a hard time filling up because of that?
We don't know because I don't know what happened. Because literally we were inflating it. And so it was four of us. I was on the roof with Sean. And then we had two guys on the ground looking out, one of them which was Steve Riniker.
Mm-hmm.
And they were supposed to be our lookout people. So Sean was like, go check on our lookout guys. And I went and I saw them, and they were like two football fields running the other direction already.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, and then, because we're on the roof, and this is like a big sprawling, there's like an intersection. It's North Avenue and 59, Kurt.
Oh,
remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a big,
oh,
this
yeah.
won't mean anything
yeah,
to you.
Yeah,
but
lot of traffic around there.
It's like, you know, it's a very busy intersection that we're on the roof of this McDonald's. And when I looked, I could see fairly far, and in every direction there were police cars coming.
Oh my God.
So when I ran back towards Sean, I'm like, we're fucked. I mean, here comes the police. And he looks, he can see, and he's like, all right, follow me. And he ran and jumped off the roof.
He said, follow me.
Yeah.
And he just jumped
he
off
just
the roof.
Like Bruce Willis at Die Hard. Over the McDonald's letters, he jumps over and just, all I see is him go,
no way, no way. And you're like, okay, I got to jump off too then.
Yeah, but I was like really scared to do it. He's yelling. He's like, come on, you know. So I did. I ran and I jumped.
Oh, my God.
So we don't know what happened, because then we landed in the bushes in front of McDonald's, and we laid, like as soon as I landed, he grabbed my leg and he goes, don't move. And we just laid in the bushes. And that, and all the police pulled up like 10 seconds later, you know, and all got out. And we laid in the bushes, and we laid
just
in there.
Hiding there.
Well, we laid in there all night, and they never found us.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Awesome. But when we, and I, to the point where we had laid there so long that I fell asleep, I woke up, and Sean grabbed my leg, like, you know, like, don't move, like, is to say don't, because I think when I woke up, I twitched, and he grabbed it.
Oh my God.
He was holding on to my leg. And so when we got out, he called his parents because it was like 6:30, 7 in the morning the next day.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't find Steve and the other guy.
Yeah.
But we said meet back at the church station wagon.
Still running to this day, no.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, yeah. Still running.
Still running down the street. Help!
Like, they're not chasing you anymore.
And we went back to the station wagon, which was because we parked it. Again, Sean had it all planned out. When we would go do these things, you remember, we would park far away from wherever we were going to do whatever we were going to do. He came with it. You got caught the one time. Remember, didn't you try climbing on a roof or something? Didn't you get caught? You were with a girl. Yeah.
Oh, we were shooting the water balloons. Remember we were shooting the water balloons at Neil? Was that the one? Mm-mm. While he was a lifeguard? Oh, no, that was a different one.
No, that was a different one. It was the one when we were in downtown Wheaton, and we were doing something with toilet paper and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
I think you were climbing these downtown areas. Yeah, I think you were climbing on a roof, and you were with a girl, and she got caught, and then you ended up having to go back.
Oh, yeah.
But we would always, we would park far away. So then the idea was when the cops come, everyone just scattered but meet back at them. But
yeah,
it was parked.
That's a great plan.
Yeah. So when we went back to the car, they weren't there. So we were kind of like,
uh-oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, you're not here.
So we called, he called his parents, you know, and his dad's a pastor. You know? So he's like, he goes, hey, Dad, I spent the night, you know, he's making up some lie. And then he's quiet, and I hear him going, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then he's got, like, this smirk on his face. He's kind of, like, laughing. He's like, oh, all right, Dad. Okay. You know how Mr. Dudley was. He's like, I'm assuming his dad is like,
son. You know, he's just a very, like, yeah.
Son, the police called.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go down to the station. You say that you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, that's his dad.
That's
was
right,
a very,
yeah, yeah. Like a radio voice, like a very calm.
Yeah, that's what I imagine on the other end.
Yeah.
So Sean gets off. I'm like, what? I'm like, what the fuck? Because he's like laughing. He's like, well, they caught Steve and Ryan. Remember Ryan Pupulis? He was the other guy.
Oh, yes.
Did he give in easily?
Well, I'll tell you. So they caught them, and they saw it. He was like, we got to go down to the station and West Chicago Police Department, turn ourselves in. He goes, you might want to call your parents. Now, my parents, who are not
were they
not
holding the other
pastors,
guy's ransom? Like,
what's
you know,
that?
Were they holding the other guy's ransom? Like, the cops holding
yeah,
the other guy's...
Yeah, they were at
like,
the
you
jail.
You have to come here.
They were at the jail, and we had to turn ourselves in. Yeah, so my parents... The phone call to my parents went completely different.
Oh, no.
I called... Well, and you knew my parents. I call in my mom... Pick up... My mom answers, hello? And I'm like, hey, Mom, it's Phil. She's like, you are in so much, you better not even come home. Your father is in the shower, and you better be lucky he's in the shower. I don't even know what to tell you. Go down to the police station, turn yourself in. We have to work all day. If you have to stay in jail, you have to stay there. I mean, she's just like, and I'm like, okay.
You have to stay there.
You have to work all day. This is your own problem. Like this and that. I'm like, okay. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was totally different. So we went, and we went to the thing. Now, mm-hmm. Just to paint a picture, when the police, because we laid in those bushes all night, and the police came, the fire department came, they pulled that gorilla down. The dude who owned the dealership came to get the gorilla. He was swearing. He's like, where the fuck? I mean,
and you could hear it? You could hear it going
we're
on.
Just
you're down
right
there,
there,
and you hear it all. Oh, my God.
Yeah, all of it.
How scary and thrilling.
And when they all left and they never saw us, and the police admitted later, they're like, we're laying in those bushes the whole time. And they were impressed because they were looking.
They were impressed.
They were looking up.
They were impressed.
They were looking at the roof.
They were impressed.
They thought people were trying to break into the McDonald's. First, it was a robbery. That's how they showed up. They came with guns drawn.
Oh shit. Oh,
they
God.
Thought it was a robbery.
You guys are probably
so then
dressed
they figured
like ninjas, too. You're probably all...
Yeah, we were in all black. Yeah. No, we were in all black with, like, combat boots and stuff.
Oof. Oh, wow.
So when... they all left, and then the sun just started to come up. Sean was like, now we have to get back to the car, and the car's like a mile away.
Oh, boy.
So he's like, so not to be suspicious, he's like, what are you wearing under your pants? I'm like, well, I got boxer shorts on. He's like, me too. He's like, so what we'll do is take our pants off.
Like, you're just wearing shorts. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm not wearing boxers. No. It's just my shorts.
And he
yeah.
said, let's pretend we're on a morning jog. That's what he said. Let's pretend we're on a morning jog. I want you to send this to Sean Dudley.
I love it.
And
let's
I'm like,
pretend we're on a morning jog.
And I'm like, what? Wearing combat boots and boxer shorts? At like 6:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
Or it was 6 in the morning, whatever the
oh
sun
my
gets.
God.
So...
Oh, my God. We,
and the cool thing was that, like, I always thought it was funny because the cops never found us. But as we stood up out of the bushes, the front of the McDonald's was, like, floor to ceiling. It was, like, a giant glass front.
Oh, yeah.
And there was the janitor was just standing there with the mop. And he, like, dropped it and ran to the back. And Sean's like, let's get the fuck out of here. And we just ran. Because we were like, the damn janitor found us with
oh
the police.
God. Oh, my God. Oh, my
so
God.
So we ran to the car, and then the phone calls happened. So we go to the station, and we knock on... The station's closed because it's 2 in the morning, so we knock on this door that's like, for only police officers, Dana. The dude comes out, and he's like, yeah? Like a cop. He's like, yeah? And we're like, we're here to turn ourselves in. He's like, what?
He's
like, yeah, we're here to turn ourselves in, and we're wearing... black combat boots, boxer shorts. Like, it's like, what? He's like, well, we're the ones who stole the gorilla. He's like, oh, yeah, come on in.
Oh, yeah, you,
oh,
guys,
yeah, you guys.
So then they took us to the bowels of the police station.
Oh, my God.
To a jail cell, and there's Ryan and Steve sitting in
oh
there.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, Riddicker starts laughing.
Yeah,
he thinks
oh, yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
His
such
Riddicker
a good
way.
Laugh. He's got such
yeah.
a good laugh.
And we're just like, what the fuck happened? Ryan Peebles didn't find it very funny, but we were
oh,
in
boy.
There. And we're like, what the fuck happened? So here's what happens. Because Sean gave specific instructions.
And they didn't listen.
They didn't listen.
Right,
no, he
right.
said, look, run.
Sean was a
across,
mastermind.
Across the street was a forest preserve, woods, heavy woods. It's like, just run into the woods because they'll never find you because they can't drive in. And then just wait it out and then get back to the car. It's far enough away. They'll never fucking find you. Well, they didn't do that. Instead, they went across the street to the Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, for God.
And pretended they were ordering like food, and they were just sitting. So the cops, when they came, they went into the Dunkin' Donuts and they saw them and they're like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're just here eating, but they have no car. They have, you know, it's all too weird. So they grab them and they bring them back. And apparently Riddicker gave us up like right away. Ryan was like, I don't know who these guys are. But Riddicker, like, gave us
oh, no.
everybody
oh,
up.
Oh, my God.
So it was over in 15 minutes. We didn't have to lay there all night. He
over.
Gave us all up. And Steve Riddicker's mom was this very conservative Christian woman who worked at, like, a Christian bookstore. And I'll never forget when we were in jail. I think Sean Dudley was like, he was just like, they were talking about having our parents come down. He's like, well, keep me locked up if Steve's mom's coming.
Oh, no.
And he was like, just keep me locked up. Like, he didn't want to have. Because she was a tough lady. But we were in there, so they tell us this. We're like, well, Jesus, we had slept in the bushes for 5 hours, and this is, you guys gave us up right away.
You guys gave us up right away.
So then when we're in there.
Those people would not be my friends, that's for sure. I was like, you know, it's like. They would have to hold it. I'm like, I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah,
no, I'm not saying nothing.
I still talk to Steve and Sean to this day. Ryan, I don't know where he's at or what he's doing, but you know, but I.
He gave you up. Why would you talk to him?
So, yeah, so we're in there, and like, that's when they tell us they came down. And did you ever see the movie The Blues Brothers? Have you ever seen that movie, The Blues Brothers, with Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi?
I know what it is, but I've never seen it.
Well, since this might turn into a podcast, the opening... Well, he knows, because he was in... And Kurt was in the Blues Brothers as a little kid, as one of the orphans.
A little orphan in there.
The beginning of the movie is John Belushi gets out of prison in Joliet. So... And that's called the... I think it's called Joliet State Prison or something like that. Still exists. So we're in jail, and... One of the cops comes downstairs and goes, well, he goes,
He goes, you know, the gorilla you stole was grand theft. That's really good stuff, guys.
Right?
Yeah, that's. It's the Brussels sprouts, and there's a really good yogurt thing underneath it. Yeah, so
a yogurt thing.
Yeah, no, it's really good. You get into that, you're gonna that's gonna blow you away. Yeah, it's really good. So he goes, the gorilla you stole was grand theft, which makes it a felony. And the guy goes, grab your cane. I'll never forget he said this, because this changed everything. It went from being a joke to being serious. He goes, grab your KY jelly and your toothbrush. You boys are going to Joliet.
Shit, no.
Didn't say Joliet. He said Joliet.
Made it even worse.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, boy. He's like, he goes, you boys are in a lot of trouble. He goes, because this guy's pressing charges. And Sean, that's when Sean flipped out. He goes, oh, fuck. I'm fucked for West Point. I'm fucked. You know, and everyone's just like, we're just like, what do we do?
Oh.
You know, get some of that, Kurt.
And you're like, you know, we just want to have, just for kicks, we want to have Godzilla battle King Kong. And
that's
now
all,
what?
That's all we wanted. So.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that good?
What a crazy.
Oh, my God. Super good.
Whoa.
That's good stuff.
Whoa!
Yeah, MoMed's on point with their.
Oh my god!
With their dishes.
I got. Oh my god!
Uh huh.
This is a Brussels sprout. Wait, what do they call it on here? Which one? What did you end up getting on here? Oh yeah, that is the side.
Organic Brussels sprouts in a.
Oh, organic Brussels sprouts. Yeah.
It's. I think it's called a labneh.
Labneh, pomegranate molasses.
Wow.
Lemon zest.
Really good.
And then the crushed hazelnuts.
And then what's also
really so a hazelnut's good. A real thing.
What's also really good is the flatbread and the sliders. Yeah, those are really good. All right, so we get so then it changes the game,
mm-hmm.
and we're like we're in serious hot water.
Yeah,
but I'm in less kind of I'm. No, I mean, it all would have sucked for us, but I had less on the line. I was just going to COD the next year or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But for Sean, he was already in West Point, accepted. He would have been donezo.
Oh,
like
my
they
God.
So,
oh, my God.
He was the one for sure. So, but Sean starts laughing again. And I'm like, what the fuck is so funny? Why are you laughing? Because he's always the king of, like... And he gets these situations like...
He's got the folk
and you're like,
faces.
What are you laughing at? And he's like, man, I hope... And you might remember this girl. He goes, I hope Dina's father doesn't find out about this. Now, this was a girl he was dating for a stretch in high school.
Mm.
Like senior year. She lived in West Chicago. And I go, well, and I knew her. When he was like, when I had my lifeguarding job with him at the pool, and she would come and swim, and I met her, and I go, "Well, who's Dina's dad?" And he goes, "Well, he's the sheriff of this police department." And I go, "Fucking perfect." I go, "That's our that's our ticket out of here." And he's
oh
like,
God.
"And then he goes, but he says, he goes, no, I can't say anything. No, that wouldn't be." I go, "You have no fucking choice. The next time a cop comes down here, you say." You say to him, you say, look, something like, you mentioned that you're dating Dina and the shirt. He's like, I don't know. He's like hemming and hawing. I'm like, no, God damn it. You have no choice. You have to. He goes, all right, fine. So then a cop comes down again to get our confessions. And he says, hey, when is Sheriff so-and-so coming in? And the guy stops. He's like, well, later today? Why? How do you know him? And he goes, well... I'm dating Dina, his daughter. They're like, oh, you're Sean? They
oh, my God,
him.
No
they
way.
All knew him.
No way. Dude, no way.
And that single-handedly got us off the hook. That changed everything.
Shit. Oh, my God. I never heard this aspect of it.
Yeah, so when we were, because we had to go up and write our confessions, and they were sort of like, told us what to write and what not to write. And then they really pressured the car dealer not to press charges. That whole single-handedly got us off the hook, and we were out of there. We were out of there.
He's gonna go to West Point, and all that, and
they
the daughter.
Really, they really had our back, and that's really what got. And they got it kind of like dumped down to a trespassing ticket for like $75, like a misdemeanor thing that we went to court for and we just paid. And that was it. But like,
you didn't have to pay for the.
We got out of the whole thing. And when I came home, I don't think my dad talked to me for like a week. It was like
that.
No, because it was
like, what a crazy magic trick, huh?
Oh, it was.
It was. You could have been in Joliet.
Yeah, I know. It was completely insane. I mean, I think about that story, and then it ended up in the, but it did end up in the West Chicago local paper in the police section, and it listed our names, and I was at a family event, and one of my aunts lived in West Chicago, and she pulled me aside and cornered me, she's like, I do not want to read about my nephew in the West Chicago police, I never want to see that again. And I called your mother, and I heard what happened. You know,
God.
I'm like, whatever, lady.
Oh, man.
But, it was great. That was an insane story. And then on our way out, as they let us go, why the police were there so long was they had pulled it off the roof, and they laid it out on the concrete. And they all got pictures taken with it. Like, they thought it was hilarious.
Oh, my God.
They thought it was funny.
Oh, my God.
They really were like, this was one of the funnier things that's, like, happened in the area in a while.
Why would anyone ever even want to press charges? They should be like this is a genius idea that these guys did.
Exactly. And you know what was funny is that, because we did this a lot. I mean, and you were a part of a lot of these. And so we just, our favorite thing was to, like, taunt the police in the suburbs. I mean, you know, and we remember, were you ever with us when we did Glen Ellen?
Yeah, the Glen Ellen, Naperville, Wheaton. We did
we didn't damage, well, with the exception of the gorilla thing, which we didn't mean to damage anything. We were always careful not to damage shit, so if we got in trouble, it wasn't that much trouble.
We were joyful pranksters, you know, like we were good.
So, like, when we.
It was more annoying stuff than vindictive or things like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Were you with us on the one when we went to Wheaton and we did the electrical tape around the stop signs and we created the you had to have
been. Dude, yes.
And we did the bonfire in the middle of the street.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
And then that one we hid and we met back.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But Sean and I kind of hung behind.
Well, and we were up on roofs, too.
Yeah, like, we were on roofs and we were throwing down.
Sean was talking about, knew about roofs that we could hide on. And, I mean, he had everything. Wow. He was like the leader. He was like the Hannibal of like our A team.
He was like the guy who's like, I love it when a plan comes together.
Well, we had done this so much that there was a thing in the local paper of the town, and it basically said that there's this group called the A team. Yeah, get one of those. I'm full from my chickens. I ate an entire thing of chicken soup while we were doing the interview.
Oh my God!
So I'm pretty full. You guys get into that. So now you know a place
the
in that water.
Mm.
You can come to. Yeah.
Frog Town.
Yeah. So So Salazar is the Mexican place. Okay. So. Yeah, but they called it. So they. Because what we did was instead of spray paint, we used shaving cream, and we would cream the windows. The A team. And we had done it enough that they had thought that, because there was a union dispute going on in the town at the time over, I don't know what union it was, but the papers were like, police suspect this is a part of the union dispute. They're calling themselves the A-Team. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God.
Sean mentioned that once, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Crazy. But that's how much we
did. So they thought it was someone else.
Yeah, because we never got caught on any of the things. And when, I don't know if you remember, Kripa, when we did Glen Ellen, they only had, like, one cop on duty at night. It was, like, some Barney Fife shit. And, like, it got to the point where we would literally run in front of the cop's car and be like, chase us! And we'd run away, and the dude would just fucking sit there. The stuff we did at this place, holy hell, I'm surprised they kept us around.
Phil and I would, we would wait until she ended her shift, and we would follow her home at a safe distance.
To find out where she lived.
To find out where she lived. And then at the apartment complex, we'd decorate her car.
We'd decorate her car. And we gave her like a some kind of card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went
like
to
a secret admirer card.
Yeah, and we got like a an I love you card. And we would write these lavish love notes. I mean, well, first it just started with the card, but then it went into these lavish notes where I'm like, I think I mainly wrote them, but as you can tell who the instigator was, but I would write things like, you know, I want to, like, make love to you all night long. But it got her excited because she would talk about it. She'd be like, I got notes.
She'd talk about it at work.
At work, yeah.
And I think we had, like a Christmas tree garland or something we wrapped around the car. It was a very decked out, very bedazzled kind of car.
Yeah, it was.
And didn't she even ask us, like,
she's like, do you know who would do something? And we're like, no, we don't know.
Yeah.
I thought I saw Kurt's car following me home from work one night.
She was trying anything. She didn't know, but she was trying. But then eventually we did get caught because Bo, who was the no-nonsense manager, like us, but he was, of course, and he's single-handedly the only reason why I continued to get hired back. Because I think for some reason he took mercy on me. But he, I think... on the inside appreciated everything we were doing, but on the outside he couldn't because he was like the manager, because it was a franchise owned thing, so there was like a couple who owned a few of these, so he really worked for them, but he was like the guy. And I remember one time he came up to me and he's like, do you know who would be leaving these cards and notes on Karen's car? And I'm like, no. And he's like, tell me the truth. And he's just like, look at... But he had the ability to like... Oh, and I was like, yeah, it was me. He's like,
yeah, it was me.
And he's like, all right, come with me. And he like wrote me up. And I mean, my file... I mean, remember when I hid? Do you remember when I hid under the cabinets?
We used to have a salad bar there. So he would hide under the salad bar and he'd jump out and scare her when she was restocked in the salad bar or whatever. He's like, yeah!
In front of the customers.
Oh my God.
Imagine eating at a Wendy's and a 15-year-old boy pops out of the cabinets when she opens it to grab cups and goes, ah! And she goes, shit! I mean, what was in my head?
You know, it's all because of Bo that I know who Warren Zevon is.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that guy, he taught me all...
Yeah.
He gave us, like, great...
A lot of great music.
He would make some great music compilations for us. And he's like, oh, don't listen to that crap you're listening to. Listen to this. And he would just give us, like, just amazing, amazing sound. Oh, Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Mm-hmm. That was another band that I learned because of him.
Yeah, Warren Zevon single-handedly was because of, you know, so I'm like... We're 16 years old listening to Warren Zevon. That's not typical, but that was him. Yeah, that was definitely because of him, for sure. I remember the time when I... Two instances. So we had this guy that worked... He was like a... He wasn't a manager, but he was more like a crew shift manager. And I think when I was 16... To me, he seemed like he was 40, but he was probably only like 22 or 23. But his name was Ben, and he was this giant guy. He was just this big, and he didn't have all of his teeth, but he had braces, which was weird. We never understood that, because he had braces, but he didn't have all of his teeth. It was very fucking weird. And he was like this like weird heavy metal pervert. Because he would always...
He was like one of those guys who liked to peel out of driveway.
He used to like...
He was straight out of, in a way, the Napoleon
Dynamite. Dazed and Confused kind of thing. Oh, Napoleon Dynamite guy.
Like the guy with the football?
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's kind of like that dude.
Totally that dude. And like whenever we would be working at Wendy's, he would grab us. Now, remember, we were like 16. He would grab us. He'd like... hard. He'd be like, and he would like, anytime there was a girl that came in that he thought was like hot, he'd grab us and he'd turn to be like, look at her.
Oh yeah.
Don't you like her? Look at that. Look at her tits and blah, blah. And we would be like, dude, it's like, you're creeping me out.
Yeah,
like, you're not into this. But he would do it to us all.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
This dude was a scummy, creepy loser. And he pulled up, and what his thing was on his day off, his favorite thing to do would be to come to the fucking Wendy's in his Camaro and, like, pull up to the drive-thru and he'd just blast. Remember, he would just, like, blast his, like, Iron Maiden or whatever he's listening to. He'd just, like, blast it or Black Sabbath. And he'd just sit there and bounce his head and look at you.
Oh,
and he usually had some, like, really trashy girl with him. So I had had enough.
That's why I had enough.
I was not going to deal with this anymore. So I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if you were there this day, but he pulls up, and I decided it would be funny if I put, if I filled up one of the ice buckets from the ice machine.
Don't tell me.
And when he pulled up to the window, because it is a drive-thru window, I would open the window and I would throw the ice on him in his car.
Yeah. I thought it was a funny thing to do.
I thought it was a funny thing to do.
Yeah.
And I did it.
Oh, shit.
So he pulled up. Maybe it was Chuck Plath who was there that day. It's possible. But
I was there.
I threw the ice and it flew in his car and the girl screamed and he went, "What the fuck?" And he, like, drives his car straight into just the parking space. So I'm like, well, he's coming after me.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
running the drive-thru. I have the headset
oh,
on.
Oh, no.
So I run to the back, and I stand by. I'm like, all right, I'm going to stand, because the dishwashing station had a sprayer that was, like, industrial. Yeah, you guys, you know.
Oh, yeah,
it was an industrial-sized sprayer. So I'm like, this is going to be my protect. That's the kind of ice. That's what I use. I've had that with ice. And I threw it, and it all went in his car and everything. So he comes running in. And whoever the manager was that day, let him, he's like, where the fuck is, like, I mean, this was like a scene. This is a business, you know. People are, I mean, this is Dave Thomas's business. And we're like, this is what we're doing.
Dave Thomas's business.
We're not helping people. We're not serving burgers. So he comes running in, and he comes around the corner, and I was waiting for him. So he comes around the corner, and I just doused him in the water. So not only did he have ice on him, but he had the water. He's like, what the fuck? And I ran out the back. Remember the back door? I ran out the back door into the parking lot, and I'm wearing my headset and everything. And the thing's going ding dong, ding dong. You know how I did that? Ding dong, like to have to answer it. So I run out, and he comes running out. He's like, "I'm gonna kill you!" He's like angry. Well, I ran to his car.
Oh my god!
He left the keys to his Camaro. The girl was out of the car. She was waiting inside.
Oh,
he had left the keys in there. So I got in his car and I rolled up the windows and I locked it.
No.
And I was just sitting in there.
Oh no.
And he's banging on the windows like, get the fuck out of my fucking
No.
And I'm just like, nope. Nope, I'm not gonna do it. I'm
nope,
not doing it.
I can't do it.
And then I went the next step. I started his car.
Oh no.
And I backed it. I said, get the fuck out of my car. And like he's standing in front of it and I'm like lurching the car forward at him.
No.
And do you remember
across
the street from the Wendy's was a TCBY yogurt?
Yes, yes.
I drove his car. Now, again, I'm running the drive. And it's going ding dong.
Orders
ding dong.
Are still coming through.
Helping him. I drove the car across the street to a TCBY yogurt, parked it, you know, and just left it. And then ran and hid in like there was like bushes and stuff. You know, there's like bushes and trees and stuff.
And meanwhile,
and, like,
you got
I hid.
Ding-dong,
I,
ding-dong.
Yeah, I hid in there. And then he comes, so because when I was driving it, he's running behind the car. I can see him in the rearview mirror. He's like, stop! So I parked it and I ran.
Jeez, no way.
So needless to say.
If you ever need to find, we can't find him. His favorite hiding spot is the
bushes. That's right, that's right. He loves the bushes.
We know where to find him.
That's right.
So needless to say, I got fired.
Oh my God.
From that. And then I told my parents. And then they asked why, and they kind of got it out of me, and I told them, and they're like, well, you got
to
go beg for your job back. So I did, and they hired me back, which is their dumb idiot. They hired me back. But then at the Christmas party, we then got in more trouble, because remember when we took out Ben in the parking lot?
Yeah, we tried to gang up on him.
You got to tell this one.
He and I tried to gang up on him.
We took his keys to his, well, I took his keys to his car.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, here's what, because we were like, let's get him out in the parking lot. It was me and you. I think Chuck Plath and who else? There was a fourth person. Oh, it was your buddy Jeff.
Jeff Littner.
Yeah. And we're like, let's get, because he's big. And we're like, but if we get him in the parking lot, we all get around him and we'll just kick him. And if he comes after me, then you kick him and he'll turn around and come after you. It was literally like dealing with a bear.
Oh my God.
Like a
it
wild
was.
Animal.
It was.
You just poke it and then poke it on the other side. It's confused.
I remember him picking me up and flinging me around like I was like a freaking cabbage patch towel.
And you're screaming.
I'm like, ah!
And we're like, get him!
Get him!
Well, it's the holiday Christmas party.
Yeah, it was the holiday Christmas party.
At a bowling alley.
And I was like, here's how we get him in the... We got to get him in the parking lot because we're going to get him.
We're going to get him.
And I was like, here's how we'll do it. I'll grab his keys. They're right over there. And as soon as I do, he's going to chase me out. So you guys... So that's what I did. I found my moment. I grabbed his keys. He goes, you motherfucker. So he chases me. And they come out. And we got him in the parking lot. And we like, you know, yeah. And we were like, he's like, all right.
We tried to get him with you.
And then we got in trouble for it.
Yeah, yeah,
we got
yeah.
in big trouble. Yeah. I didn't get fired, but I got written up, I think.
Yeah, we did got in trouble.
Yeah, I think we all got written up.
Wow.
Yeah. We tried to take down the beast.
That's exactly
oh, God.
What we tried to do.
Oh, my God.
I just wonder, like, when I think back on that job, because I did so much. I did so much. And then we would do, we did voices on the on the drive-thru.
We'd have the drive-thru. So I would do the speak and spell. I don't know if it works as well this day as it did. It used to be like,
speak and spell. Speak and spell.
Like, do you hear, like, the echo? Yeah. It's got to have an echo.
So imagine.
Speak and spell.
The drive-thru, and that's what comes through.
Yeah, I would put the ice bucket over my head.
I would do
and
Christopher
And our manager
Walken.
At the time, this guy, did like, right. welcome to Wendy's.
And people were just like, what the fuck? And the managers were like, what are you guys doing? Like, we were just there to entertain ourselves and get paid for it. Oh, I can't believe they put up
One of the
this
fun
shit.
Things that we would do is, like, someone would order, like, let's say a Frosty, and we would give them an unnecessary ketchup packet and, like, a fork and things that, like, what am I going to use this for? You know, like, just stuff that they didn't need. They just didn't need. And it was just...
Yeah, give just them, like, to put hot these... sauce with their Frosty.
Here you go. These question marks in their brain.
Oh, my God. People were just like, we were nightmares. We were total nightmares. And I remember one time I hid, I hid in the cabinets once. Do you remember when I hid up in the... I climbed up the metal racks
in the stock room.
Because, you know, I think it was Kirsten. Like, I just remember her coming back and hearing, where's Phil at? He's not back here. And I'm like hiding up on these fucking, like way up on these metal racks. And I only weighed like 80 pounds.
He's not back here.
Like up in these, like, I don't see him.
And yeah.
Like, but you guys knew where I was.
Yeah. You're laying on top of the ketchup boxes. And
then I would climb down and then she'd be like, where have you been? I'm like, I've been here the whole time. You know, like that shit. You know? I don't know. What are you talking about, Karen? I was in the back.
The whole time.
I was in the back getting cups. She's like, she would just give like those faces because she all liked us all.
Yeah, oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
She wanted us to like hang out with her and okay. You know, she was the one we could get away with it on. But
my brother was 16 at the time, and I remember her like going.
Remember when I locked her in the office by accident?
Oh my God!
Do you remember that?
In the office.
Well, I was doing dishes, and she said something that pissed me off, and the. Office door? The office door?
You jammed it. What'd you do?
The office door was always open, and she said something pissed me off, and I'm washing dishes. And I was like, shut up, Karen. And I took the door, and I went, wham, and I closed it so hard that the thing broke, and she couldn't get out. She couldn't get out.
Oh my God.
And she was like, help, help. And she was locked in there. She got locked in the door. I got written up for that shit, too.
Oh, my God.
I got written up for that.
Oh,
yeah. And I don't know how she got out.
Just
but
your daring sensibilities. I mean, dude, you just really went for
she
it.
She said something I didn't like, and I was like, wow.
Ouch.
And she was locked in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we did so much.
She would invite my brother Josh to go out drinking, and he was only like 16.
16 years old.
You should come over sometime. We'll do we'll do some drinking.
Yeah. Oh, my
so,
God.
So, I mean, like, she's not totally innocent this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lady.
Yeah. However, speaking of innocent, there was a guy there named Innocente.
Yeah.
And then he started calling him Guilty Sente.
Yeah.
And then after a time, he changed his name to Vicente on his name tag. Yeah. No, I'm Vicente. I'm not Innocente. I'm Vicente.
He's like, I know, you're Guilty Sente.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But then we tried to set him and Karen up, and he liked it. Remember? We did that? He liked it?
We tried to set him up.
We tried to force him and Karen. And he was probably only a couple years older than us.
I think so. And he probably
Poor
seemed
guy.
Much older because he had the mustache.
Yeah, he had a mustache.
He had a mustache.
And so we're like, hey, go date Karen. So we had talked him into, like, going into the office and trying to, like, make moves on her. I don't know if he ever did. But.
Was Karen, like, open to it? Did she, like,
She probably would have liked it, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The whole thing was just complete insanity. And then, of course, we would come on our days off to get free food.
Yeah, like bags
and we got
fries.
In trouble
like, come
for
on,
that.
Just give us a bag of fries.
We were getting so much trouble because they would be like, look, you can't come here anymore on your days off to eat food.
Look, you can't come here.
You know? We definitely went down in legendary status.
Oh, yeah. Who was? Did you make Employee of the Month or did Josh?
One
of
you guys made Employee of the Month. I was never Employee of the Month.
Oh, yeah, probably not.
No, I was fired
most
three
written up
times.
Employee of the Month. Yeah.
I never was. No, your brother was. Your brother didn't. Your brother was smarter. Your brother was smarter. No, Josh participated, but he was smart enough to know how to not get fired. I didn't give a shit. I was like, fuck it. I'm going to do this and whatever. And then I would get fired. And then I'd go home, and my parents were like, why aren't you going to work? Like, over the last week or two. Well, I got fired. And they're like, you better go back and apologize. You know. And I would have to, and I would go back and have to ask for my job back. And they gave it to me back, which is even worse.
They gave it to me.
And they're like, all right, just don't do it again. And then I would
just don't do it again.
How do your parents feel about like you being in LA and doing what you're doing?
Oh, now they love it.
They love it?
Now they love it. All but right. Yeah, not at the time. I don't think they were huge. into it. Like, you know, in high school and stuff, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. And I did go to junior college for a year. And I was like, we were paying for the Second City classes and all that stuff. I don't think they were like, they were sort of like, no, this is not something to do for a living. But when I went to theater school, I got a scholarship, which I was lucky to get. And then they couldn't say no because they weren't paying for it. So that's the only reason why. And then once that kind of happened, and then I started to work out of college, commercials and TV shows. And then they were like, oh, okay, he's like doing it. You know, so it was, but I'll never forget in high school, I would say I want to do this, and they're like, oh. Yeah, kind of thing. Because I normally played sports in high school, so I was doing the theater instead of doing the sports, and they were kind of like, what? I mean, I think my mom was my dad, which was more like, he wasn't playing baseball. So he was like, why aren't you playing baseball or doing a play, you know, kind of thing. But I mean, they love it now. I mean, they've had some fun. Like when I went back with High and Outside at the Gene Siskel, which was last fall, because it ran there for a little bit. Ran there for like a week. It went back for that. Then it was like on, you know, it was like on ABC7, and they showed like pictures of my parents, and like they really went into like my upbringing in Chicago, and I'm coming back with a movie, and so now they love it because their friends will be like, oh, I saw you on the a picture of you on the news and your son, and it's you know, and they get this.
Wow.
So now they get it's cool for them, and you know, stuff like that.